Today's shiur is Masechet Pesachim Daf Vav. We will begin on Daf Vav Amud Aleph, four lines from the top. In our previous shiur, we had begun a discussion. If you're responsible for something, does that mean you own it? The conversation was primarily regarding the halacha of chametz, where we said that if somebody is responsible for chametz, the Gemara says you're over by your rabbi your matzah. The halacha is that if a kosher animal has a firstborn child who is a bechor, a male firstborn, the halacha bechor applies that it has to be given to the kohen. Bezban she beis hamidrash hayah kayem, when the beis hamidrash was standing, it was brought as a carbon, essentially like a carbon shlomim. Bezman hazeh, we have to wait for it to become a bamum. However, if an akum has a partnership in this animal, then this halacha will not apply. So ask the Gemara by the name of Rava, they asked Rava, behemah sanuna, a behemah that they have to give a tax of from that animal to the government. So now that animal is not owned solely by Jews. The government has a share in it, obviously a non-Jewish government. So now the question is, chayevus b'chayra, is that animal going to be b'chayra and chayevus b'chayra? That means certainly if somebody, if a Jew is has a partner in his animals, a partnership in his animals with a non-Jew, there would be no question that there's no chayevus b'chayra. The reason the Gemara has a question here is because it's not the regular partner, it's the government. And perhaps, as long as the tax that's owed to the government wasn't separated, so it's not considered as if it's really a full-fledged partnership. So explains the Gemara. Wherever the obligation to the government could be satisfied by just paying the tax and not actually giving a share of the animal itself, says the Gemara, there is no question, the chayif, that there's a chiyah b'chayra, because the government doesn't really have a full-fledged shear in the animal. Kikam abaylon, the question is, where you can't pay off the government with just paying the dollar amount. Mai, what's the halacha? And those cases, in that cases, what's the halacha? And as Rebbe Chanan in the Kibbutz Shurim explains, if the government ultimately doesn't, the question of Gemara is only if the government ultimately doesn't take its share. Because if the government takes its share, whatever percentage, then for sure the halacha is that this animal is not considered completely owned by Jews. The question is, where the government has the right to take that share and ultimately did not, will that animal be mechuyev b'chayra or not? Amalahu Sarava responded, Petura, that it's Potter. Ask the Rav Tanya, have we learned another braisa that says Behemer Sanuna is Chayevis? Answered Gemara, that braisa is as we spoke a moment ago, the Matzah Mesalaklei, that we could pay off the government with money. In a case where you could pay off the government with money, as we have been learning, there is no question that there's a Chiyev B'chayra. Ikadamri, but there's a different version of this discussion. If the government has a share in the tax, certainly the potter from Bechaira, and even says the Gemara, Afagav the Matam Salakle. Even if you could pay off by giving the government just the value and not having to give them a share of the money. And as Rabbi Chanan goes on to explain, that this opinion obviously holds that whatever the government has a share doesn't make a difference how I could pay off that share. The reality is the government has a share, and once we have this reality that the government has a share, the halacha is that the government, it's considered a non-Jewish partnership and it's part of a b'chayra. But now there's a different question. We know that when you make a flour out of about 5 pounds of, when you make a dough out of about 5 pounds of flour, you have to take off challah. Now the question is isis anuna. They had to give from the dough that they made, they had to give a share to the government. And here too, is that if the dough is owned in partnership with the government, then with a non-Jew, there's no chiyuv challah. And the Gemara's question is, what's going to be by isis anuna, the dough that's owned, but you have to give a share of it to the government? Says the Gemara, there it's chayev es b'chala, the halach is that it's chayev b'chala. V'avgav d'loy motzi, misalikle. The Gemara says even of a chiddush, that even in a situation where you have to actually give the dough, so there we certainly should assume that it's considered a situation where there's a non-Jewish partner, and if there's a non-Jewish partner, it ought to be part of b'chala. Still, the Gemara is saying that you have to give challah. My tama. So, of course, this is difficult to understand. If there's a real non-Jewish partnership, why is there a chiyuv challah? Answer the Gemara. Behema is lekola. By an animal, everybody will know that the government has a shear in this animal. And since everybody knows that the government has a shear in this animal, therefore everybody will realize that that it's a non-Jewish partnership and you don't have to give b'chor. Isa, but when it's a dough, people don't know that. And since people don't know that, less lekola, and if they'll see that you're not taking challah from your dough, it's going to be difficult to understand and accept. Another pshat, that's the way Rashi explains. Ritva has a different approach. Ritva says that when a person has an animal, the government will not, under any circumstances, forfeit its right to collect its share. And therefore, it's considered a full-fledged partnership with a nochri. But by a dough, that not everybody knows that you made a dough, so it's not necessarily going to be a situation that the government's going to collect that dough. And since it's not necessarily going to be a situation where the government's going to collect the dough, that's why it's chayiv and challah. And the Rashba makes a very interesting point. The way we're learning, really this dough should not be chayiv and challah. But says the Rashba, once Chazal established, essentially because of Maris Ayin, as we're learning in our shir, that you have to give challah from this dough, so it becomes a full-fledged chiyuv to give challah from the dough, and you'll even make a bracha when you take off the challah from the dough. The Ran seems to disagree, and the Ran says that if we're only taking off challah because of a Maris Ayin consideration, we would not make a bracha. Tana Rabbanan, Nochri shenichnas l'chatzer sheYisrael. If a Nochri enters the chatz of Yisrael with tzeka b'yadoi, and he's holding some dough, he's holding chametz, ein zakuk l'varor. We are not obligated to burn that chametz. It's his chametz. However, yichad loy bayis, if the Yisrael designated for the Nochri a place where he could put his chametz, ein zakuk Glavar, here too, there is no obligation to burn that chametz. Shnema lo yimotzei, and therefore it's not chayiv. So the first question that the Meiri asks is, if the Nochri walks into my home on Pesach holding chametz, and the Gemara says, I don't have to burn it. Of course I don't have to burn it. It's his chametz and he's holding it. So Rashi seems to say that the chiddush of the Gemara is they don't have to ask the Nochri to leave my home, as long as he's holding the chametz. The Meiri explains that there really is no chiddush. The Gemara just is building up toward the chiddushim that we're going to learn. And Pnei Yeshua says, as we've been learning, and explains the Gemara, as we've been learning in our shiurim, when it comes to chametz on Pesach, there's a lava by Yerah, there's a lava by Yemotzei, but there's also a mitzvah saseh of tashbisu, of what has to get rid of his chametz. The chiddush of our Gemara says to Pnei Yeshua, that not only if the Nochri walks into my property carrying chametz, is there no lava for me by Yerah, by Yemotzei, but the chiddush is even greater, that there is no, I would not be Mekayim,
I would not be fulfilling a mitzvah say of Tashbisu if I would do anything to get rid of that chometz. There's absolutely no connection between me and that chometz, and therefore there's no chiyuv. But then the Braisa spoke about yichloi bayis. Says the my comma, what is meant when it said yichloi bayis? Omer apapa reshikoi. The Braisa is speaking about going back to the reisha. Vach comer hefkidoi etzloi. If the Nachri didn't just walk into my property holding the chametz, but if the Nachri walked into my property and left chametz in my property, then zaka klavar. I have to destroy it, because under those circumstances, we have the din of lo yimotzei. So now the question is, Tosfos asks in the very maskil yichud, that in yesterday's shiur we learned that if I didn't take responsibility, then I'm not chayv by yirotze or by yimotzei. So why over here am I chayv? So the Ramban and other Rishonim say the fact that the Nachri, the fact that the Nachri leaves it by me, even if I didn't take full-fledged achrayis, that is still considered perhaps that I took achrayis, even though I didn't verbalize that obligation. Rav Ashi says, Loilam HaSeifakoi. The braisa should be stood as follows. Vachkama. Yichla bayis, if I designated a place for the Nachri to keep the chametz, ein zakek levarer, shenemar, loimotzei bebeteichem. But if I showed him a place where to leave the chametz, and I said, this is your chametz, so it has nothing to do with me. The Nachri could kamayil, by me designating a place where the Nachri should keep the chametz, lebeisa the nafsh kamayil. He's leaving it in his own property, he's not leaving it in my property, and therefore I'm not responsible. So says the Gemara, lememra, so according to this, the fact that I rented or lent a place in my home to the Nachri makes that the place that belongs to the Nachri. Vatanan, ask the Gemara, the Mishnah Masechet Avodah Zarah Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis teaches us. Ap Makush Amr Lahasker, even in a place where Chazal said we're allowed to rent a property to an Akum, Loi Lebeis Dira Amru. They didn't allow us to rent it for him to be a dwelling place. They leave Avodah Zarah in their place, and the Torah says, Loi Sovi Tayeva Abeisecha. Ask the Gemara, or comments the Gemara, that as soon as I rent him the property, it's considered his, so why is there a problem? When the Nachri would bring that Avodah Zarah into that property, he's only bringing it into his own property, and there's no problem. There's only problem when I bring it into my property, not to somebody else's property, answers the Gemara. Indeed, Schiris, it does not give you ownership. Shani Hacha, when we speak about Chometz, the Afka Rechman B'Losh Lo Yimotzei. The Torah, by using the words Lo Yimotzei, makes a point. The Torah is trying to teach us Mishim Miyotze B'Yotcha, something that you have control over. But if this Chometz belongs to the Nachri, and not only does it belong to the Nachri, but moreover, it's not something that I control, even though, because I designated a place where the Nachri should keep it, Yotzuzah, Shenem Motzah B'Yotcha, and therefore there's no Bayirah and Bayimotzah for me on this Chametz. So, our Gemara, this year and the previous year, have been speaking extensively about a Jew holding on to Chametz that he doesn't own, but if he has a Chrayis on it, then there is a Bayirah Bayimotzah. If he doesn't have a Chrayis, there is no Bayirah Bayimotzah. So now the question is, what will be the halacha if somebody insures somebody else's chametz? Somebody's is in the business of insurance, and he's insuring Nachri's chametz, so, or even a Jew's chametz. What is going to be the halacha? Will that be a situation of bayirah bayimotzei? Drama in Or Chaim Siman Tov Mem Sif Aleph says that a Yisrael who accepted shmira, responsibility to watch somebody else's chametz, then he gave that chametz to a different Nachri to watch, then the halacha is he's still chay by Rabbi Yimatzah.
So it seems that since the Jew took that responsibility, even though the chametz is not actually in the Yisrael's possession, not only is it not in the Yisrael's possession, but he asked another Nochri to watch it, it still doesn't exempt him. However, the Magen Avraham over there in Tof Mum Mem Sifkat and Aleph says that if Yisrael gave chametz to a Nochri to watch on his behalf, because all he has is responsibility on that chametz, that means the Nochri is watching the chametz for the Jew, that is the case that the Ramah refers to. However, if in a case, if the Jew asks the Nochri, who is the owner of that chametz, to watch the chametz, then there's no issa b'ayirah b'ayimotzei. So now, says the Magna, so according to this, yes, if somebody is insuring an Akum's chametz, then maybe there should be an issa b'ayirah b'ayimotzei. But if the chametz that you're insuring is not only not in your possession, but you actually asked the Nochri who owns that chametz, you didn't ask him, that's the way it is, he's holding on to his own chametz, maybe it would be more lenient. This all would only help in the case when you're insuring the chametz of a Nochri. However, if you are insuring the chametz of a Jew, this wouldn't, that certainly would be much more of an issue. The Chayk Yaakov says, certainly in a situation, which is the case of insurance that we're discussing, that not only is the Nochri holding on to the chametz, but it's really more than that. The Nochri is holding on to the chametz that you never had. You never took possession of that chametz. All you did with that chametz was you took responsibility for the chametz and never left the Nochri's rishus. So since it never left the Nochri's rishus, therefore we could be much, much more lenient. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Hamotzi in the chametz beis b'yontif. If somebody finds chametz in his home in yontif, the halach is kofilei kli. He should cover it up. That means, since the chametz we know on Pesach is osba no, you can't move it on yontif, because it becomes muksa. And since you mevatel the chametz before Pesach, so there's no iser or bayiro bayimotzei, you're not over an iser with having that chametz. Because technically, as soon as you are mevatel the chametz, it's not yours. And therefore, because of that, you have no right to move the chametz, just bring a keli and leave it there. So here, there's a question. We learned in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Mem Gimel, Tosfos Devarim Maskil Koyfa asked this question. We learned in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Mem Gimel, Amud Aleph, Ein keli nitl ela tzarech davar nitl. You can't move one keli for the purpose of another object, which is muksa. So here we're taking a keli to cover up the muksa, to cover up the chametz on Pesach, which is, of course, as we just said, muksa. And why doesn't the rule of Ein keli nitl ela tzarech davar nitl apply? So Tosfos gives two answers. One answer Tosfos suggests is that the keli that you're picking up to move, to cover the chametz, you should pick it up because you need it l'tzarech gufay l'tzarech mekaymai. As we've learned many times, if it's l'tzarech gufay l'tzarech mekaymai, you're allowed to move the keli. And then, once you have the keli in your hand, you could use it and cover up the other, you could use it to cover up the chametz, which is muksa. Another pshat is that although normally the halacha is that ain keli nitl el tzarech davar nitl, but here because we're concerned that if this chametz will remain exposed in your home, you may come chas v'shalom to eat it, it's chametz, and therefore the rule of ain keli nitl el tzarech davar nitl was waived. Why can't you burn the chametz on yontif? So it goes back to what we discussed in our previous year, that certainly if we follow the opinion of Beis Shammai, that the only time you could burn a fire on yontif is in a situation where it's l'tzarech eichel nefesh, burning the chametz is not l'tzayruch eichel nefesh. But even according to the opinion that metaych shehutru l'tzayruch, hutru nami shloy l'tzayruch, as we always explain, that is only in a situation where there's some tzayruch. You're burning it for tzayruch. Here, burning chametz is absolutely no purpose on yontif. You're not going to gain anything from that fire. And since there's no problem of owning chametz because you won't vattle it, therefore, you may not burn it under any circumstances. From Rashi, it seems that let's say you were not mevatel chametz, then, and you find chametz in yontif, then the halacha is that you would be allowed to burn it. And the Rishonim explain that the reason is because now you have a mitzvah to burn it, the mitzvah of tashbisu. And therefore, there is a tzayruch, as we just explained. Whenever there's a tzayruch on yontif, then you are allowed to make a fire. Here's a tzayruch because you want to burn the chametz and do the mitzvah of tashbisu, and therefore, then you would be allowed to burn that chametz if you find it on yontif, which if it was chametz that you were mevatel. The Shulchan Aruch Rav says that yes, if you find chametz on yontif that you were not mevatel, you have to get rid of it on yontif. But he says, don't burn it, because like we just explained, burning it opens up all sorts of questions about making a fire on yontif. What he says is, destroy it in another way. Flush it down in the toilet or be mefarev of Zohar L'Ruach. And I saw the Maram Chalva explains, how can we say that you could burn it? Since the halacha is that you just have to get rid of the chametz. So if you have to just get rid of the chametz, so you don't have to burn it. So how do we have a right to burn it? So he says, and that's why he says that you should not burn it. It's not even an option to burn it, even if you weren't mevatel it. Amarava, imshal hegdishu. But if the chametz that you find that is a hegdish, is chametz that belongs to hegdish, then the halacha is ain't tzarich. You don't even have to cover it up. My tama midob dilamine. People naturally stay away from hegdish, and since people stay away from hegdish, we need not be concerned that you're going to chas v'shalom come to eat it. Vam Rav Yudam Rav, chemtza shel nochri, if a akum has chametz in a Jew's home, and it's not a case where the Jew took responsibility. So since the Jew didn't take responsibility, there's no bayiro bayimotza. The halacha is oisla mechitza sarat tefachim. The Jew should make a mechitza around that chametz of 10 tefachim tall mishum hacker, that he should avoid not coming chas v'sham to eat it. Vim shel hegdishu. But if the chametz that's in your home belongs to hegdish, ain't tzarech, you don't even have to make the mechitza. My tama, because since it belongs to Hegdish, people naturally, mivdo b'dilimine, they stay away from it. So again, as Rashi explained, the chametz that the Gemara is speaking about here is chametz that you didn't take responsibility for. And therefore, we're not worried you're going to come to eat it. And there's no bayi rabbi emotzi. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says that if it's chametz that you didn't take any responsibility for, and it's also chametz that doesn't belong to you, it's chametz that belongs to the akum, then there's no reason to make a mechitza. The entire discussion is going back to a place where yichel loy bayis, and therefore you have some sort of responsibility, that therefore the halacha will be you have to make a mechitza. So here we have a very important halacha. What happens if somebody finds chametz in their home on Pesach? So the halacha is, if you found it on Yontif, we said that you should cover it up and not burn it till Chol HaMoed, if you had ready made bittul chametz. On Chol HaMoed, you should burn it immediately. You should burn it immediately, and to be mekayim, the mitzvah of tashbisoi. Moreover, if somebody finds chametz in the Rishus HaRabim, on Yontif, he has to be very careful not to pick it up. Even if he doesn't mean to take ownership of it, so there's no problem of a kinyan, but still, Al Gemara taught us a new concern. And Al Gemara taught us a concern that if you're going to pick up chametz, you may come chas v'shalom to eat it or have a gnaw from it. So what you should do is not touch it under any circumstances. That also comes up if somebody got a chametz delivery on Yontif, he shouldn't pick it up or bring it into his house.
And all of this is because Chazal were concerned that Chas v'Shalom, somebody will come to bring it into the house. There's a very interesting question. So we just learned in our Gemara, certainly if you did Bittel Chametz, you should not burn the Chametz on Yontif. What about Yontif Sheni? So it's a question because Yontif Sheni, maybe you should burn it. La Locha, the Paiskim say that if you were Mevatel the Chametz, then not only on Yontif Rishon should you not burn it, but even on Yontif Sheni, you should not burn it. You should wait for Chol HaMoed to burn it. Vamar Yehuda Marav, Hamafarish, if somebody goes away on a trip, Vayotze B'Sheyara, he goes on to the sea or he travels far away. If he's traveling before Pesach, Kodim Shloshim Yom, before 30 days before Yontif, and Zakuk Levaro, he doesn't have to destroy the Chametz from his home. However, if he leaves Toich Shloshim Yom, if he leaves within 30 days, then the Aloch is Zakuk Levaro, he does have to destroy it. Am Abaya, on this comments Abaya, Hoda Amrit, this that we just said, that if he leaves within 30 days, he has to destroy the Chametz. Only if he intends to come back before Pesach or on Pesach. If he has no intention to being here on Pesach, even though it's so close to Pesach, he doesn't have to destroy it. To which Rava commented, if you're saying that the only thing that we look at is he coming back or is he not coming back, so then the halacha ought to be a film Rosh Hashanah Nami. Even if he leaves Rosh Hashanah, but he knows that he's going to be back for Yontif, he should have to destroy the Chametz. Elamar Rav, Hada Amrit Kodim Shlosh Yom Ein Zakuk Levaru, that if he leaves before 30 days before Yontif, he doesn't have to destroy the Chametz. Loy Amaron Elish Ein Dat Alachzer, we has no intention to come back. Ava Dat Alachzer, if he has intention to come back on Pesach, afilu mi Rosh Hashanah, and as all the Paiskim say, we'll discuss this soon more, the halacha is even earlier than Rosh Hashanah. In fact, I saw that those that explained that the definition of Rosh Hashanah in this Gemara means the day after Pesach. Let's say somebody leaves his home the day after Pesach, and he doesn't intend to come back till next year, almost 12 months later, Zakuk Levaro, since he's going to be back here for next year Pesach, he has to do Bir Chametz and Bittel Chametz. Vazu Rava Tamei. And the Gemara says the Rava is consistent with his opinion. Dama Rava, Hoysa Beisei Oitzer, if somebody makes his home where he has grain into a warehouse, if it's Kodim Shloshim Yom, it's before 30 days before Pesach, Ein Zakuk Levaro, he doesn't have to destroy it, because since it's completely covered, it's considered destroyed. But if it's within 30 days before Pesach, then the halach is Zakuk Levaro, he has to destroy the Chametz. Kodim Shloshim Yom, Nami Lo Yamaron, this that we said, that if he leaves before 30 days, it's not an issue. Elish Ein Dat Lefnoisei, only in a place where he doesn't have any intention to come and empty out that warehouse and expose the Chametz by Pesach. Avadata lach lufnoisa, if he intends to make it available on Pesach, afilu kodim shloshim yoim, even if he left his home before 30 days before Pesach, nami zokek levaru, he has to destroy the Chametz. So Rashi says, data lachser, that he intends to come back during Yontif. But says the Ran, in understanding Rashi, what will be if he's going to come back before Pesach? Then he doesn't have to destroy the Chametz now. When he'll come back before Pesach, that's when he'll do Bedikas Chametz. The Rambam disagrees, because the Rambam is concerned that he may get delayed and not arrive until middle of Yontif, and then we'll have a problem. So ask Rabbeinu David, so does that mean anybody who leaves his home within 30 days before Pesach should have to do Bedikas Chametz, because we always should be concerned that he's maybe not going to get back, he may get delayed and not come back until Yontif? So the Meiri therefore differentiates. He says, if you intend to come back with enough time before Pesach, you would not have, then you could do Bedikas Chametz when you come back. But if your intention, says the Meiri, is only to come back on Erev Pesach, then the Rambam's concern that you may get delayed and not come back on time kicks in.
The Mishnah Berurah differentiates in Siman Tuf Lamed Vav Sifkat and Tes between if you're taking a trip far away or you take a trip close by. If you're going far away, there we need to be concerned that you may not come back on time. But if you just, everybody leaves their home within 30 days before Pesach. They go wherever they go to work, they go to different places. That doesn't require you to do a new Bedikas Chametz. So as we said, most Paiskim say when the Gemara uses the words Rosh Hashanah doesn't mean Rosh Hashanah. It means it depends if you intend to come back or not. There, however, moreover, the Rabbeinu David says that even if it's a person that's not sure if he's going to come back on Pesach or not, still the halacha is, since there's a chance he's going to come back, we already have to be machmer. So now the question is, if somebody, if it's within 30 days, so the Gemara said that if it's within 30 days, even though it is not your intention to come back, the halacha is that you still have to do bedikas chametz. Now the question is why? You have your plan R and you have no intention to be home for Yontif. So as we're going to learn in the Gemara, once it's within 30 days of Pesach, it's not to be understood that, well, maybe you're going to be home. Once it's within 30 days of Yontif, that it's already considered Pesach. And just like on Erev Pesach, we all know that you have to do bedikas chametz, the halacha would be the same on Erev Pesach. But the halacha is that when you make bedikas chametz, if you're not making it Erev Pesach, the halacha is you do the bedikas chametz, as our Gemara says, but we don't make a bracha. The only time we make a bracha on the bedikas chametz is on Erev Pesach itself. Moreover, if you're leaving with the intention to come home, as we just discussed, or you're leaving and it's within 30 days, if you make a shliach, you appoint somebody to do the bedikas chametz on your behalf, then the halacha is that you don't have to do bedikas chametz when you leave. You can rely that the shliach will do it when he's supposed on Erev Yontif. So here our Gemara taught us there's a new time frame, 30 days. Ask the Gemara, Hani Shlosh Yoim, Mai Vadatayu, what makes 30 days so special? Answers the Gemara Kretanya, as we learned, Shail and Vidarshim Hilchas Pesach, Kun Pesach Shlosh Yoim. When it's 30 days before Yontif, we have to start learning Hilchas Pesach. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Shtei Shabbosos. So since it's already within 30 days when we have to start learning Hilchas Pesach, so like we just explained, it's the time of Pesach, it's already considered Pesach. What does it mean? Shail and Vidarshim Hilchas Pesach, Kun Pesach Shlosh Yoim. So the Pashup Pshat is that's when the time for learning Hilchas Pesach begins. Others explain that Shalom V'Darshim Hilchas Pesach Kodem Shloshim Yoyim refers that if two people come over to a Rav to ask a Shaila, and it's 30 days before Pesach, one is asking a Shaila about Hilchas Pesach, and one is asking a different Shaila, the person who's asking about Hilchas Pesach comes first. I saw a very beautiful Pshat. There was once Shabbos HaGadol, Reb Tzvi Hirsch Berliner, who was the Rav of Mannheim, did not come to say a drasha. And they asked him, we know that all Rabbonim say a drasha on Shabbos HaGadol. Why are you not saying a drasha? So he answered, Shoyalim V'darshim. When you have a community that are Shoyalim, that people ask Shailas about Hilchas Pesach, then the Rav on Shabbos HaGadol should get up on his own for Darshim and give a drasha. He says, nobody here in this community asked me a Shaila about Hilchas Pesach. So since nobody asked the question about Hilchas Pesach, if there was no Shoyalim, there is no Darshim. Another pshat that I saw from the Satmar Rebbe in Shoyalim V'Darshim V'Hilchas Pesach, he says, whenever a Rav gives a drasha, it's supposed to influence the people to be better. And therefore he says, Shayalim, before a Rav gives a drasha, Shayalim, he should ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem should help, that the words that he's going to say should be effective, that the people should accept his words and they should have an influence on them. And the Rav has an obligation, Shoyalim. The Ran asks a question, says the Gemara in Masechet Megillah says that Moshe Rabbeinu Tikkun Lam LeYisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu made a takana, Shoyalim Vidarsh Mehilchas Pesach Pesach, that on Yontif we have to speak about Hilchas Pesach. Not like our Gemara is saying, 30 days before Yontif. So if we learn Pshat, that it's only regarding somebody asking a Shaila, so we could understand. The actual learning of Yontif, the actual learning is only on Yontif. Here we're talking about Shailas that are being asked. So the Beis Yosef gives a different explanation. He says that Pesach is different than other Yom Tovim. By all other Yom Tovim, the obligation is on Yontif itself. On Pesach, the obligation is 30 days before, because there's so many halachas that are involved in Pesach, and as we're learning in our sugya, many of those halachas already take effect before Yontif. Others disagree, and they say that before Pesach, we should learn the halachas of Yontif, and on Pesach, we should learn the very Torah and the lomdas of the different halachas. My time in the Tanakhama, says it's 30 days before Pesach. Shloshim yom kodem Pesach, shoyalim v'dorshim. Says the Gemara, where do we get 30 days? Says the Gemara, Shemosha omer Pesach Rishon. Moshe on Pesach Rishon, Mazhir a Pesach Sheni. We're speaking about Pesach Sheni, which is 30 days later. Shenema, the pasuk says V'yas bnei Yisrael as a Pesach b'me'adoi. They spoke about making Yontif, and then the pasuk says V'yah noshim shetumeim l'nefesh. There were people that were tamei and they couldn't make Pesach Rishon, and Moshe Rabbeinu told them to make Pesach Sheni. And as Tosfos explains, the Remaskul Mazir. These people wanted to know, since they were Tamei, if they should make Pesach Rishon. So speaking to them, we're speaking about something which is relevant now. Why is that considered that they were talking about before? So Tosfos answers that he could have just told them, you don't need to make Pesach Rishon. Why did he also have to tell them the halachas of Pesach Sheni? It must be because the halachas of Pesach Sheni, because 30 days before we have to talk about the halacha. Rav Shimon Gamliel, who holds that normally you need only 2 weeks, I hear was 30 days. Amalach, I did the ayir b'mila de pischa. Since Moshe Rabbeinu was giving a shiur about Hilchas Pesach, masik lo l'cha mila de pischa. So he spoke to them about all the halachas of Pesach, but not that normally you would need to do it 30 days before. Ask the Gemara, my time to Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel says 2 weeks. Where did he get that from? Says the Gemara, Shere Moshe Oymed Rosh Chodesh. Moshe Rabbeinu on Rosh Chodesh Nissen, Mazer al Pesach, was speaking to them about Pesach, which is 2 weeks later. Shenemar, HaChodesh Zalchem, Rosh Chodeshim. On Rosh Chodesh, Moshe was speaking about Pesach 2 weeks later, and because Moshe Rabbeinu told them on Rosh Chodesh, Ksiv Dabra al Kol Das Bnei Yisrael Lemer, Ba'osel Chodesh Zeh, V'yicholam Yisrael Lebeis Ovis. Ask the Gemara Ma'ed Rosh Yachakai, who says that Moshe Rabbeinu was saying the shir on Rosh Chodesh? Dilma Ba'arba B'yarcha, or B'chamisha B'yarchakai. Maybe he was saying this on the fourth or fifth day of the month. So how do we know you need 2 weeks? El Amar Abba Simim Shmei Dervina Mahocha. The pasuk says, "Vidava Hashem Al Moshe Midbar Sinai, B'Shana Hashenis, B'Chodesh Harishin, B'Ksiv, V'Yas Bnei Yisrael Pesach B'Ma'idai." So Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to them on Rosh Chodesh Nissan about Pesach 2 weeks later. Again, asked the Gemara the same question. Hachanami Memaid B'Reish Yarchakoi. Who says that this took place on Rosh Chodesh? Dilma Ba'arba B'Yarcho, B'Chamisha B'Yarchakoi. Answers the Gemara, Amar of Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Asya Midbar Midbar. We learn Gzer Shava. Ksiv Hocha, in the Pasha Pesach, it says B'Midbar Sinai. And there it says, V'Ksiv Hosom, V'Dab Hashem Moshe B'Midbar Sinai, B'Oil Moed, B'Echad L'Chodesh Hasheni. So Ma'ala Halon, the Drosha took place on Rosh Chodesh. Here too, Afkan, the Drosha took place on Rosh Chodesh. Ask the Gemara, but if we're learning this way, the Torah should have first mentioned the drasha that Moshe Rabbeinu gave on Rosh Chodesh Nissan by Pesach, and then the Torah should speak about what happened in Chodesh Sheni, where he told them that it should be counted. So why does the Torah have reverse order? The Parshas Pesach, which took place, the Drasha Pesach, which took place first, is mentioned in Parshas Baloischa, and the other, and the Parsha of counting them, which took place a month later, is mentioned in Parshas Bamidbar. The Nichta Bereshit the Chodesh Rishon, for how the Nichta the Chodesh Sheni? Answers the Gemara. Amar Rav Nashi bat Tachlifa Mishmei the Rav. Zois Ameris. From here we learn Ein Mugdim Umuchu B'Torah. There's no order in the Torah. The Sukkim in the Torah, the Parshas in the Torah, don't necessarily follow and a special order. So the Divrei Yisrael from the Mazar Tzur Rebbe says a number of pshatim and Ein Mugdim Umuchu B'Torah. He says, one pshat that he says is you have a person who mugdim, who began learning Torah when he was younger. And then he have a person that began learning Torah when he was mocher, only later in life. Says the Gemara, ain't mugdim or mocher b'Torah. It doesn't make a difference when you began learning Torah. As long as you learn Torah, that's all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks for us. Another pshat that I saw, ein mugdim amucha b'Torah, is that a person who learns Torah should not be particular about the way people treat him. Ein mugdim amucha b'Torah. A person who learns Torah should not be busy about COVID, that they treated me better or worse. It doesn't make a difference. Another pshat, the Gemara from the Divrei Yisrael, the Gemara Masechta the Brachos Daf Hey teaches us. A person should get the Yetzer Tov to prevail over the Yetzer Hara. Nitzchai, if he was able to prevail, mutav. Imlav, if that doesn't work, yasik b'Torah. Imlav, yikik krishma. If learning Torah doesn't work, then he should say krishma. If imlav, and if that doesn't work, yasik lo yom ha-misa. He should mention the yom ha-misa. But clearly, the Gemara Masechta Brachos is teaching us that the best method of prevailing over the Yetzer Hara is by learning Torah. So says the Gemara here, Ein mugdim amucha b'Torah. If you're going to learn Torah, then you won't have to rely on one of the other pieces of advice that Chazal gave us, on how to prevail over the Yetzer Hara. Torah, Ein mugdim amucha b'Torah. There's no better way of prevailing over the Yetzer Hara, better than learning Torah. The Tala Shemayim gives a different explanation. He says that there are people that have the nature that they always push things off. Says the Tala Shemayim that the lesson of this Gemara is Ein Mugdim. A person should never take the approach that I have time to learn Torah later. Ein mugdim amucha b'Torah. Torah is lamalim and azman. And whenever you have a chance to learn Torah, learn Torah. So our Gemara just established, as we just discussed, the concept of Ein mugdim amucha b'Torah. However, comments Rav Papa on this, lo yamar el betrei inyonai, when it's two different subjects. And two different subjects, we say Ein mugdim amucha b'Torah. Av b'char inyonah, when it's in one subject, my, there we say, the mugdim, what's mentioned first is first, umay the mucham ucher, and what's mentioned second is second. Diloy temachin, because if we're not going to accept such an understanding, we know, as those who say the brisa of Rabbi Shmuel every morning, the shlosh asur medris, we speak about a klal prat, that first the Torah says a klal, and then the Torah says a prat. The aloch is ein beklal amash beprat. But if ein mugdim mucham b'Torah, why do we consider the klal prat? Maybe it should be considered a prata klalhu. Vesu, another raya. What is the halacha of prata klal? The halacha by a prata klal is nasa klal moisef al prat. But who says it should be treated as a prata klal? Maybe it should be treated klal pratu. Ask the Gemara, if we're saying that we need to be concerned about the order, because we're not going to be concerned about the order, that all these ways that we learn Sukkim the Torah will be difficult to understand. I feel it betraying Yoni Nami. So even if they're not next to each other, how can we say Ein Mugdim and Mucha b'Torah? So the Gemara explains itself. Klal Prat Ruchakim Zayim Ein Donen Prat. That the only time a pasuk could be considered a klal prat is when the klal prat are right next to each other. So now we can understand what the Gemara says. If they're right next to each other, they're considered a klal prat. And if they're considered a klal prat, we could darshan it. If they're not next to each other, they're not a klal prat. Eleman the Omer. Shadonin, a coin to Man Domin that says you can learn a klal prat even when they're not next to each other. But why would that be a legitimate way of learning? Why should we not be concerned about a mugdam and mucha b'tayra, my ikal meimer? Answers the Gemara, a filaman domedonin. Even when we say a klal prat or prat to klal, even when the two psukim are not next to each other, hani mili b'chad enyana, they're one subject. So in one subject, we say that the order of the Torah, even though the two psukim are not near each other, is specific. Av betrayin yonah by two subjects, like we began our shir, Pesach and Bamidbar, there ain't donim, there's no plal prat, and there's no ain't mugdam much b'tayra. So the Masham, in the Shal's Chuvas Masham, Chelk Aleph Siman Reish Yud Gimel, uses this Gemara for an interesting question. We know that every week, the halacha is we're supposed to do shnai, supposed to learn shnai mikra v'echa targum. Now, what's the halacha if you miss the week? So the halacha is if you miss the week, you should make it up. So now you didn't make it up yet. You didn't make up last week's shnai mikra v'echa targum. So what is it better to do? Is it better to say this week's because it's this week's, or is it better to say last week's that you should stay in the proper order? So the Masham says, since we're learning in our Gemara, Eim Mugdam Mu'ucha B'Torah, so we should preferably do this week's parasha first. By doing this week's parasha first, we're doing the parasha that we're supposed to be doing this week. And then afterwards, we should make up. Last week, I were doing a later parasha before an earlier parasha. It doesn't make a difference. Eim Mugdam Mu'ucha B'Torah. I saw that the Chuvas HaRosh says, based on Eim Mugdam Mu'ucha B'Torah, that a person, when he gets an aliyah in shul, sometimes he says, why did I get the later aliyah? Somebody got an aliyah before me, but I'm more important than this person. Here we're learning Eim Mugdam Mu'ucha B'Torah. In Torah, it doesn't make a difference if you got the first aliyah or the second aliyah. Furthermore, I saw that the Oilus of Ephraim explains that Eim Mugdam Mu'ucha B'Torah means, as we learn in Pirkei Avos, Umetalmidai Yoisma Kulam. Don't always think that they're greater people or not such significant people. Eim Mugdam Mu'ucha B'Torah. When it comes to Torah, we're all equal. I'm Rabbi Yudam Arav. Haboidik, somebody who's by the Chametz, Tzarech Shivatel. After you do Bedikas Chametz, you should be Mevatel the Chametz. Ask the Marmai Tama, what's the reason? He's destroying all the chametz. Inayim mishum peruin. If we're going to say there may be some crumbs that he didn't do, has the gemara like shivi. These crumbs aren't significant. V'chitema, but maybe you'll say kivin the mental layer God base. Yes, normally crumbs are insignificant, but here the crumbs are in your home, and since the crumbs are in your home, that gives them a significance. That's why the chshivi v'tanya. We learned that loch is soifet te'enim. Dates that will never get ripe. So the question is, are the chiv meiser on those dates? So the halacha is, even if they're in your field, which you are watching, because in your field you have anovim, or you have soife anovim, or you have grapes that are never going to ripe, that you're watching, mishama sadeu, nemishkos medelos, and you're watching your field because of different vegetables, cucumbers, that are going to be good, if these fruits are significant for you, asur mishum gezel, if somebody else takes them, it's considered that it was a gazlan, and there's a chiv maisur on them. But if they're insignificant, there's no problem with gezel, and ptur mishum maisur, even though they are in a guarded field. Amarava, the reason why we have to do bittel is for a different reason. We're not worried about the crumbs. You may find a nice piece of bread that v'datele, and you're going to consider it, and you're going to eat it chas v'sholem on Pesach, or want to keep it on Pesach, and you'll be over by Yerob and Matzah. Ask the Gemara, v'chim mishkachsle. So when you find it, levatle, then do the bittul. What do you have to do the bittul before Yontif? Answers the Gemara. You may find it only after the Zman of Issa Chometz kicked in, and then it's not considered yours anymore. And once it's not considered yours, you can no longer do bittul on it. There are two things really halachically are not considered yours. The Torah considers them yours only l'chumra. A bar in Rishus Rabbim, that even though it's not yours, you don't own the Rishus Rabbim, but if you dug that pit, you're responsible. And then, Chometz Mishay Shas L'mal, Chometz on Erev Pesach, after the sixth hour, that it really, because the Torah says you can't own it, it's also Ba'anah, so really it should not be considered yours. It is considered yours, L'chumra, to be over Ba'yirah, Ba'yimatzai. So, here we're saying that the Gemara is concerned for Shami Yimsa Gloska Yofa. And as Rashi explained, that we're concerned that a person will delay burning that Gloska Yofa, and it'll be over by Yiroa, by Yimotza. The Ramban, however, is troubled with Rashi's Pshat. He says, if somebody finds a nice piece of chametz on Pesach and wants it, even though you were mevatel it, it's what's the issue? So he says that the concern is that he's going to retract on the bittul. That's one pshat. Another pshat is you may give it to an animal, and you're not allowed to have any hanor from chametz, and that's why it's also. So here our Gemara said that perurin, crumbs, are not choshev. So the question that comes up, the Pais can discuss the Shal Sechus Mishnah Halachas. Chelik Yud Aleph, Simen Shem Mem Zayin discusses this. Does somebody have to check his Sfarim? Sometimes we eat over our Sfarim chametz, a piece of bread, a piece of cake. And the question is, we're going to want to learn on our Sfarim over Yontif. Do we have to check the Sfarim for the crumbs? So here we're saying that the Purim Lechashivi, and if Purim Lechashivi, there is no obligation to do bittul, to do B'dikas Chametz on the Sfarim that you may find crumbs. The Chazanish was more machmer. He's concerned that crumbs may fall into your Sefer, and therefore you're concerned that on Yontif, you're learning from that Sefer, and you'll open up the Sefer, and it has crumbs, you may accidentally put into your mouth some of that chametz. But one thing that I saw, Rabbi Yosha says, clearly that if people have benchers or sidurim that they use all year round on their chametz to the table, those sidurim, those benchers should be put away and not used on Pesach.